All right, welcome back, listeners. First and foremost, we'd like to apologize for missing last week's episode. We actually did the work.
Yes, we did. Oh, man.
It just so happened we had a technical difficulty, the technical difficulty being that Pablo sabotaged my mic.
Oh, come on,
and
man.
And none of the sound came through.
Just immediately throw me under the fucking bus.
You'll never be rid of me, Martinez.
God damn it. I was like in Cliffhanger where I just like, or Ace Ventura when nature calls, when it lets go of the raccoon. It's like, no!
Nice visual.
Yeah.
Nice visual. So yeah, folks. But we are back this week, stronger than ever on this last show of the year. And in case you didn't know, I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I am Pablo Morali Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, of course. The only show bringing you the deconstruction of pop culture and with a little serious aside.
And we say we're the only show because we don't listen to anyone else.
No, so. We don't. I make sure to put like corks in my ears like a cartoon.
How was your 2018? Because boy, are we tired.
Yeah, we're fucking exhausted.
Yeah, this year has been. We didn't think that the shit show could top itself at the end of 2017. But boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, I mean, like what I mentioned before the show, it's like I don't want to, you know, I don't want to delve too hard into politics. Mm-hmm. We are in, as of this recording, we are in a
we're in the end game.
Yeah, sorry. We're in the end game. We're in the government shutdown. Professor Orange, President Orange.
I kind of like Professor Orange.
Professor Orange. He doesn't know shit. He's the professor of scams.
There you go. He knows that much.
Yeah. You know, we're still in a government shutdown and we're being sold snake oil, but you know, indictments are coming. I've got to stop doing that. I don't know why that's so second nature to me.
Because it's so annoying.
That it is just really like, annoying.
It just stays in your temple right there. And then when you let your guard down, it's just...
fucking Jesse Eisenberg's performance as Lex Luthor just makes me want to fucking punch him in the face.
Well, we'll probably never have to hear it again anyway, since...
True, the DC universe is coming to an end.
Yeah, pretty much. But speaking of the DCEU, did you go and see Aquaman?
I almost did. I didn't.
I'm proud of you.
Okay,
good. I'm proud that you didn't go see it.
I am definitely, I do still think that we both of us should go and check out the movie.
I don't want to.
I know, but life is hard.
Yes. Oh, God. When I think of all the suffering around the world, I think they can't hold a candle to my not wanting to go see Aquaman. But seriously, I don't want to go see Aquaman.
Okay, all right. I mean,
it looks like I've seen it already.
It does. Oh my God. I'm glad you said that. Because I'm just like, you know, it does feel like every movie from 1999.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? That movie, Van Helsing, with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Woo!
Yeah.
You dug that one up
from
the grave.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Wow, what a pun. Very solid. It's just the effects look very plasticky, like in the trailer for that movie. I never saw that movie.
Oh.
I just remember the trailer and being like, oh, Hugh. Oh, Hugh.
Now, at that point, had he already done a Wolverine?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he did two of them already. I wonder if he locked down X-Men and then X2.
X2, yeah. X-squared.
So, yeah. Whatever. But yeah, I wonder if he had those movies, those two. It might have just been X-Men... just X-Men,
okay.
The first one.
Which was a smash hit, you know.
Yeah,
But yeah, so you saw the the trailer for that. old
and,
movie.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, Hugh Jackman's tanking his career. He'll never find work again. Dun, 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 you know.
Well, he's an actual actor and very talented, so he'll never really want for work, especially with the career he's established. But just a quick interjection. A friend of the show, Jamie Vetterame, sent both of us a text not too long ago.
He's like the unofficial, like, third member of the show. He really works in like a very peripheral. He's like our man in the field.
Yeah, he is. Oh my God.
Yeah, this is Jamie talking to you live from the Iraq or Kabul.
So, Jamie, when can you tell us what's going on in the field?
Is that supposed to be me? Was that supposed to be you?
No, I was just trying to do a regular. That sound like you?
Vaguely.
Is this Pavel? I don't think this sounds like Pavel. Hey, Sabrina, does this sound like Pavel? Yeah.
Really? Wow.
The producer of the show should get back to the producer's booth and quit interjecting.
Hey. Jeez. Holiday spirit, dude. Come
I know. I'm sorry.
So, friend of the show, Jamie Vetterame, sent us both a picture of a Google search somebody did in terms of Hugh Jackman's latest movies or something like that. And the search returned, in that search, the poster for Avengers Endgame popped up. And somebody circled it in the picture.
Oh man, it's.
Do you think it was a Google glitch or?
No, I mean, it gave the list of all the movies that he's involved with, huh. And just the fact that like Endgame is being mentioned, I think that a surprise was just spoiled, you know.
Oh, shit.
So it's a
leave it to Google.
Yeah.
Knows every fucking thing.
I know, right? Mm. Even before we think it.
Google. Who would have known Skynet was actually Google.
I know, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Just like in those awful, shitty Terminator sequels.
I'm looking forward to Terminator 6, to tell you the truth.
Really?
Yeah. Linda Hamilton's back.
Okay.
You know, so, and so is Arnold. And James Cameron is involved. I think he's...
Arnold's down for everything. He's just like, gives that paycheck. All good.
But James Cameron is involved. I think he brings a few people coffee. I think that's the extent of it, though. All right. It's not like he's directing or anything like that.
I want to get away from Maria Shriver.
Oh, chill. God damn. Aren't they divorced?
Are they? Yeah. Because of the
because of the cheating.
Yeah, the cheating. Yeah. The rampant cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. All right, so I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to that Terminator, but I'm approaching it with caution.
Okay, but do you really think that something was spoiled for Endgame with that search?
Possibly. And I'm only saying that because I suspect that Hugh Jackman is going to be in a post-credits stinger.
Hmm. That would be awesome. They definitely got to hit us with something heavy because this there are conflicting reports that the Fox Disney acquisition deal has gone quicker than reported. So Disney might officially have access to some of these properties already. And from what I understand, like. Even the Thanos scene that happened at the end of the original Avengers, that was done last minute. Like it was originally, I think the extent of it was just going to be like the shawarma scene or whatever. But they threw in the Thanos scene like last minute. They were just like, we got to make this bigger than anything because this movie is setting the tone. So they threw that in last minute, even though, you know, Disney already had ownership of Thanos. But with the Fox-Disney merger, I'm thinking it's not unusual for these big companies to come to the table, especially when there's a looming project coming up and say, okay, we want the deal to go through. Everything will go through during X amount of time. However, we would like this side deal to happen a little quicker because yada, yada, yada. And we'll throw in another billion if it does, you know, or something like that.
Jesus
you know,
Christ.
So, because the mouse can do that.
Yeah,
so.
I know. It's like, oh, I want this to go smooth. So.
That'd be interesting. But they're going to hit us with something, either Wolverine or Galactus or Silver Surfer or fucking.
I'm still holding out for my theory is that it's going to be the what's it called? The teaser, the stinger, where Wolverine's going to look up to the sky after some cosmic, you know, noise or whatever.
Mm.
And he's just going to be like, what was that?
You know? Wow. So, and then we all take a collective shit in the theater.
Oh, God.
I can't wait for this.
I know.
Oh, God.
We half of the Robots vs. Taxes podcast is officially turned into like, God, we love Marvel so much.
It's from.
We just love it so much.
We have another 4 months before it officially hits, you know, theaters. So
is that really how long? 4 months?
It's going to be at the end of April.
Right, right.
So, you know, January, February, March, April.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's going to be ridiculous, right?
Speaking of villains.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Nice. Yes. Nice.
It's the tequila.
Yeah, I know. Very. Oh, it's just smooth as Casamigos. Mm.
So, Kevin Spacey released a video. It was either yesterday or the day before. He was speaking to the camera, into the camera as his character from the House of Cards Netflix show.
Frank Underwood.
And it was unbelievably odd.
Unsettling. Because it was just, to me, I was surprised at how it was just a treasure trove of bad ideas. It was like, you know when you're playing an RPG and you come across like a treasure chest that just opens up and it's just like, oh, press A and look at what's inside. And it's like, oh, we found Kevin Spacey and batshit insane rant, you know.
Oh man. It was an embarrassment of idiocy.
Yeah.
First of all, is he cooking in this video? Like,
There's a few things wrong with this thing. Like, there's a lot to unpack, okay? So
yes, quite a bit.
So yeah, for one, it starts off with him cooking. He released this video on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wearing a smock that has little Santas on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, everything, I'm looking at this, I'm like, everything is wrong. Everything is wrong about this.
It just feels wrong, yes.
Yeah, like, why the cooking? Why is he in the kitchen?
Because he's cooking up a plan to get hired. Yeah.
He's baking a batch of frownies.
Frowny biscuits. The thing is, nobody's hiring Kevin Spacey at all.
No.
Ever since the allegations came out for his sexual abuse. And the thing is, I think that this is a desperate attempt to try to drum up some sort of support for his character, either returning to the Netflix show House of Cards, or perhaps some sort of alternate reality spinoff being negotiated somewhere. Maybe he's trying to drum up support from the fans who still believe, like, you know, he deserves a chance or this, that, and the other.
It's so weird because I have heard, like, on the internet, like, defenses about, like, oh, but he's such a, like, he's got such talent. And I'm just like,
what does one thing have to do with the other?
You know, I fucking love the principal from Ferris Bueller, but I'm not like, bring that guy back. He was an immense talent. And he went to fucking jail for child porn. You know?
Did he really?
Yeah, Jeffrey Jones, the
holy cow. Okay.
The guy from Beetlejuice, he was
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, did you not know that?
Did I
just blow your mind?
No, I think you just reminded me. I tried to bury that one because, you know.
I mean, he was the quintessential white guy, the white guy villain, and sure, straight laced no. white guy villain in all sure. a bunch of movies.
Yeah, including Howard the Duck.
Yes. Yeah. Oh Jesus Christ!
Yeah, talk about digging up the dead. Yeah.
You know, the dead should kind of stay dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Kevin Spacey, you know, it's interesting because like. That just makes me think that the internet itself might be a bad idea.
Oh, Jesus. I feel like somebody needs to like transport you to the beginning when they were constructing the internet.
Yeah, I'm just like, whoa, 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 guys. There needs to be. Let's. For one, hi. And they're just like, a time traveler from the future, you know. And I'll just be like, there's a few things that I need to tell you before you go forth with the construction of the internet. Woo. I don't know why I'm suddenly a ghost.
It's like, but you're actually here. You're not dead.
Am I? Anyway, you might have a few safeguards, especially for Twitter, Facebook, and all of social media. What social media? You'll find out.
Oh. Is there
anything? And then I'll drop like a light up yo-yo just to prove that I'm from the future, but then they'll just be like, why? I bring tech from the future.
Oh, man.
Isn't that just a light up yo-yo? Shut up.
Meanwhile, you're trying to answer your phone. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. Also, watch out for Jeffrey Jones. Yeah. And Kevin Spacey. So,
and with my last breath, I say, fuck Suicide Squad.
Don't let Zack Snyder touch the DC Universe. The future has spoken. So, yeah, because like, think about it. Like, think if the late 80s or early 90s, we had the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would like bad dudes like Jeffrey Jones have some kind of platform? Would people be defending them? They're just like, we can't, you know, would people be commenting? We can't, like. We can't send this guy to jail. He was fucking in Beetlejuice. He has such talent. He has such range, you know? And I'm just like, when we give the like so much power to like the masses,
mm-hmm.
we're bound to get opinions and communities that really should have stayed silent for quite a while, you know?
Yeah, that is the drawback of the internet. It makes people feel that any opinion is a valid opinion.
Yeah. Especially like people like Kevin Spacey. Like like his whole approach is like, you know, you wanted me. You want me back. He's just like, no. No one's saying that. I don't know who's saying that, but this is garbage.
Absolutely. I literally feel no chasm left by your absence. Like, no. I mean, look, you did some good work in the past, and now you're facing this. If you honestly believe you're innocent and you want to convey that, don't do stupid shit like this.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes you seem crazy. You know, it makes you seem like this is a joke. You know, there's a reason why people are upset, and they have a right to be upset over this.
I'm going
to
coin a term right now. I'm going to call it Agent Smithing. Things that should have been deleted and they just don't leave.
Folks, you thought you were going to get out of 2018 without
a single Matrix reference.
Without a single Matrix reference in this final episode. But no, that's not what we do here.
Back, baby.
And you can just expect more in 2019 as well, because we're going to keep pushing the Matrix until they bring it back. Release the Matrix, guys. Anyway, doesn't even make sense. Doesn't make sense at all.
Why cooking, for one?
I'm telling you, I think he was cooking up a plot, and he thought like, this will impress them.
I don't know. I sincerely, you know, who I feel bad for is like the victims of his, you know, his bullshit. Because now he's trying to drum up. He's just like, you know, he's trying to steal the spotlight when the spotlight should have never belonged to him in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This isn't about him and his holier-than-thou approach with, you know, being like, you know, you haven't heard all the facts and being in character. Being in character! Why? Why would he be in character as Frank Underwood? That's another decision. Who's filming this? Because there's obviously a crew. Like, there's sound. Like, somebody's operating a camera. Like, did no one say, like, hey, Kevin, you know, this might be a bad idea. Can we just scrap this?
No.
Like, you're getting charged tomorrow for sexual assault.
I think somebody walked into the room and saw an empty bottle of bourbon, and they were just like, oh, shit. He's doing this, you know?
Sabrina brought up a good point, too. Even if he's in character, it's a bad Frank Underwood impression.
Yes.
He's rusty.
Mm-hmm. He sure is. He sure is. This is... I really just think it's a final attempt to try to get work, you know? It's
right.
Like, dude... Just handle your business. I'm pretty sure that you are not really like strapped for cash. So just take this seriously.
Yeah,
for Pete's
take the
sake.
L. Go away. You yeah. have enough money.
Yeah.
It also operates from a level of privilege.
Right? Oh, for sure. For sure.
Where he feels that he's owed this.
Mm. Oh, you know, you hit it right on the head. That's exactly what I felt from the video. It was just yeah. like, you know, you guys don't tell me when I'm done. I tell you when I'm done.
It's
you
like,
know,
so. Oh, what are you fucking... You're not Heisenberg. But speaking of bad ideas...
Yes. The internet forgets nothing. Nice
yes.
segue.
Yeah. Nice oh, segue. Damn. Oh, we're just with the hits.
That's right. Letting you guys know to come back next year. But a recent video has resurfaced... from about 7 years ago, if not more, of Chris Rock, Louis C.K., Ricky Gervais, and Jerry Seinfeld sitting together. What was the name of the show? That
It's an HBO special called Talking Funny.
Talking Funny, yeah. And at some point during this conversation, Louis C.K. just drops the N-word.
Like so easily, like it just... feels like, you know, somebody dropped a loudspeaker into yeah. the pool. It's like, you know, it's like, God damn.
There was no hesitation or anything like that. It came out so easily. It's just like, ah, that man is practiced. And it came about because Chris Rock was trying to say that Louis C.K. is kind of like... the blackest white dude he knows or something like that, or just essentially saying, because the clip started off with them talking about certain racial stereotypes, and it's just like, when you see a black guy come to money, it's just about the countdown until he doesn't have money anymore, you know. And this is, you know, this is what comedy does. It sort of like puts stereotypes underneath a spotlight and tries to analyze it through humor and whatnot. And, you know, and we all know that trope where celebrities, either actors or athletes who are men of color, black men, if they don't manage their fame and fortune correctly, they fall very quickly from that limelight. So they were trying to analyze that. And Chris Rock retorted to Louis C.K. and everybody else in the room. It's just like, you know, you have some of the habits that you joke about when it comes down to like black men and people of color. Like you have some of those things. And at which point Louis C.K. followed up with, and he says, oh, so you're basically saying I'm an N-word.
Yeah.
But he didn't say N-word.
Yeah.
He said the full word.
Yeah. He added that hard ER. Yes. That's the thing that was like, God damn, Louis.
You could tell. You could tell that shook the room.
Yes.
It was like...
Well, it shook one person in particular.
It was the snap before Marvel did the snap.
Yeah,
you know?
It was Thor going, no! You know?
Especially like Pablo was saying, Jerry Seinfeld. You could tell that the funny stopped right there. He was like,
man,
whoa, we put the brakes on it, you know. I'm kind of, you know, I got to be honest, I'm kind of proud that there was at least one white guy in the room who was just like, this is not okay, yeah. And maybe we should not.
What's the deal with me leaving the show?
Bow, 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 bow. As he walks out that door. Better than that, better. Oh, but when the camera, first of all, the first camera angle where you could see his face, it was from the side. It was like sort of almost looking over Chris Rock and Louis C.K. And you could see, even though Ricky Gervais was like laughing in the corner, it was still more of a nervous laughter. But Jerry Seinfeld was just sort of like, I'm not sure. And then finally it cut to him directly. And he was just like, I'm not sure that like this is okay.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And Louis C.K. tried to keep the funny going. He was saying something along the line. He was just like, well, you know, this is not stuff that you do. It's stuff that like me and Chris do. We say that word. And Jerry was still like, yeah, but there's a big difference between you and Chris Rock. Like,
yeah. Oh man. And then Ricky Gervais, you know what? This solidified because I've always kind of like I've always kind of been on Ricky Gervais's side because, you know, I love comedy and I'm kind of like a defender of like, hey, things should, you know, touchy things should be joked about because, you know, it deserves a deeper analysis. And I think comedy does that.
But it has to be done intelligently.
Yes,
though,
has to be. Yes, I agree.
Not like what's his name, who was also on Seinfeld, who played Kramer.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that was that. I chalked that up to him having a racist stroke.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he decided his, you know what, my career should be over and this should happen. Kramer. So with Ricky Gervais, there's always been like kind of like I'm kind of on his side with, you know, people shouldn't be so touchy but this clip solidified for me that he's just a fucking dickhead. And it was never more prevalent than when he started saying the word himself. And then Louis asked him, he was like, have you ever said that word before? And he's like, no. And I'm just like, this isn't okay. This is not okay.
Yeah, he thought it was a free-for-all at
that
point. Yeah,
he's just like, oh, hello, yes, oh, I'm British, and I could do this and that, and I could do no wrong. Yeah. It's like, fuck you, dude. I don't care if you created The Office. You're a fucking dickhead.
And Louis C.K. was trying to say, you know, it'd be incredible if suddenly Jerry had an N-word bit or something like that. And Seinfeld was like, no. I'm kind of good where I am. Which, I mean, I know he was trying to be as diplomatic as possible. But that, I got to admit, that was funny. As his discomfort. Not just being a white guy who's just like, you know, this word is kind of like a place that we don't go, but just sort of being in the midst of people who are just unabashedly, especially a non-black person using that word unabashedly.
And to non-black, I mean.
To a non-black person in the room, it's like, I mean, to a black person in the room, it's like he had this look on his face like this, you know, they're Everything has a line, and there are certain lines that you just don't cross, and that's what's happening right now. And I'm just distancing myself as far away from. He wanted to leave that studio.
He wanted to sink into the chair and go to a different realm, Narnia or some shit, because he just like, oh man, the look on his face and just the tension that you could feel coming from him was, I mean, it was palpable.
Yeah, the funny was over for him.
Yeah, it was done. Chris, what are your thoughts on Chris Rock being like, oh, this is fine. This is fine. Because he's caught a lot of flack since this old clip surfaced.
You know, as well he should. But this is the way I'm looking at it. as people of color, we unfortunately have to be the gatekeepers a lot of the time in terms of what is okay, in terms of what can be said by people who are not from our particular groups, what's okay and what is not. Just because if you leave it up to, and I'm not going to mince any words here, we usually don't on this show, when it comes up to white hegemony, they have no barometer and they have never had any barometer. They've always been behind the curve in terms of what is okay language-wise, even treatment-wise. But in this particular case, we're talking about language. And it's evident in the narrative today when people talk about political correctness and you have all these people standing up saying like, oh, you're just being too sensitive. It's just like, no, what's going on right now is that in the decades prior to this, we didn't really have the power or the freedom to stand up for ourselves because white hegemony was so dominant in all aspects of media. And now that that has changed somewhat, not completely, still a lot of work to be done, and we're making our voices heard, you think it's sensitivity, but we have always felt this way, always. And yeah, we've told your grandparents and great grandparents to their fucking faces back in the day. There was just no internet or any news channel that was going to broadcast it. So now that they didn't teach you anything, and we're telling you again in this day and age, that's how it comes across as. Now, in terms of Chris Rock, he should have said something to Louis C.K. But the other side of that is that comedians, they sit and they talk about things in a way that most people don't. They cross a lot of boundaries with each other in ways that most people just don't. It's sort of like when you sit down with your closest friend and you make some off-color jokes that may not be the most correct thing. And you know deep down inside that it is, that you don't say this in mixed company or this, that, and the other. And even when you say it to each other, if you're decent people, you're not saying it in a way that's like, oh, you know, I mean this. If anything, you're trying to highlight the absurdity of it. But you also have to realize that saying things in private with people whom you trust and that you're friends with is very different than being on air and then putting it out into the world. Because what this particular video does is that it shows a white guy who's friends with a black guy saying this word and it looking like it's not a big deal. And it goes out into the world. And there are a lot of people who don't understand that that's not the way it is. And that's not the relationship that Louis C.K. and Chris Rock probably have. When Louis C.K. sees Chris Rock, I'm pretty sure he doesn't just lead with that word, you know,
or anything
along those. I'm pretty sure he doesn't do that. But when they're having discussions and they're doing like race jokes, you know, some, you know, they probably don't pull their punches. But, you know, that's material that you work on behind the scenes, because it's just not something that you say in public.
And you bring up a good point, because it's all about context.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
It's all about and that's what I feel like is such a blind spot in the boys' club of comedy, right? Mm. They think that because they're all, you know, talking in the green room and trading punches and saying shit that, you know, they think is edgy and funny and shit like that, that they could just bring that out and just say that in front of, you know, the cameras, in front of a bigger platform. But that's, like you said, that's not how it is. That's not how it, like, there's a time and place for all that, you know, and this is not something that people in general are free of. Like, people in general say monstrous shit all the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say it seriously. Some people say it tongue in cheek, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like you and me have done that. When, like, we say shit that's kind of like, we understand it because we've known each other forever.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I do call you out on it. Like, you are an ardent, like, anti-Trekite, and I'll go to my grave saying that.
God damn it.
Because you have no right to shit on that show. All right, let me stop. I'm sorry. You were saying. Please continue.
But yeah, like we do say shit that, like, if people who are just joining the conversation, like, hop on, they're gonna be like, "Wow, you guys are scum." But then they'll go around and say shit, and that makes them look bad. And if we jump into their conversation, we'll also be like, "Wow, you guys are garbage."
Yeah.
So it's like you said, there's a time and place for everything, and there's got to be some contextual, like, moment where you're just like, "All right, this is this conversation. This talk is for here. This talk is for there."
Mm-hmm.
You know, say what you want about free speech. You can't say a bunch of shit without, like, repercussions or consequences. That's always going to be there.
You have to be responsible. You have to realize that even if it's okay amongst you and your friends, it doesn't necessarily make it okay, like the good point you brought up, in another context or in another forum. I mean, words have consequences, and it's important to never... to never ever forget that. You know, it's, some people have this misguided idea about free speech, like you just said, that, you know, it's just willy-nilly, it's just words, it's just sounds that come out of your mouth, and that's it's simply not true. You know, and the people who usually have that idea of, you know, oh, you know, they're just words, if you dig deep enough, you will find something from their end that frays them. That makes them go, well, that's not okay, whether it's listening to somebody else speak a different language or or have a different philosophy about, I don't know, Israel or something like that.
Right,
that's
right.
Like, then suddenly it takes on a whole different...
it becomes a different animal.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, but speaking of words and responsibilities... you know, I just want to let you know that I'm Ernesto Mancebo.
And I'm Pablo Morale Martinez.
And together we are Robots versus Taxes on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes.
And in terms of putting things in context and taking responsibility for them and intelligently breaking them down, I want to turn to a guy who my respect for him just keeps on increasing, Jordan Peele.
God, man, that dude. I love that dude so much.
He just dropped the trailer for his next project entitled Us.
Yes.
And I cannot wait for this film.
It definitely became one of the more unsettling trailer watching experiences for me because it looks fucking frightening. And you know, I feel like like the art of the horror trailer has kind of gone out the window with, like, the advent of, like, now we just give you the whole movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like that fucking dog movie that we saw in the Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh my god. For the dog.
We saw a whole movie before we saw Into the Spider-Verse.
What was the name of that film? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was like What a Dog's Good For.
Exactly.
It was from the guys that that brought us A Dog's Purpose, which I was...
Oh, my God.
Tune in to a previous episode for what my thoughts on A Dog's Purpose.
We went to go see Into the Spider-Verse, and that was one of the trailers. And by the end of the trailer... Pablo is, you know, he's sitting next to me. He just breaks the fuck out laughing before the trailer is even done. By the way, it's like you could tell it's about to wrap up, and you just lose it. And I think it infected the rest of the theater.
The whole theater was just laughing
because they were just like, "This is ridiculous. What purpose is there in seeing this movie? We've seen
the whole thing. Movie."
Like,
it's just like it's a river. It's just, it started off like, "Oh, hi, my name's, you know, Fido. And
I'm,
like,
a puppy,
you know. And now I've grown up, and now I've turned into, like, now my voice has matured, and my balls have dropped, and, you know, I'm friends with this family. But then I get lost, and then I befriend another family, and then I befriend a CGI jaguar in the fucking wilderness. And then I save it from trouble, and then I, you know... I realize I haven't done my taxes, so I call up my CPA, and then..."
Oh, man. And then by the end, I'm reunited with my family.
Yeah, I catch up on Game of Thrones, and then Bob's your uncle. You know, it's like, what the hell was that?
So, yeah, that's definitely...
Yeah, so, anyway, the Us trailer.
Yeah, so the Us trailer definitely gave us enough to be scared, to be intrigued. And I can't wait to go see it. One thing I got to say about the trailer is that... they took this hip-hop song from back in the 90s by the Loonies called I Got Five on It, which was, you know, party song back in the day from the West Coast, and it was, you know, it was dope. And they played it regularly for the first part of the trailer, and then they made it, like, creepy. They slowed it down, and they changed the tone, and I'm just like, I've never heard a hip-hop song given this sort of treatment, and it was... It's forever changed the song for me.
It's a stroke of brilliance, by the way.
It really is.
Because, you know, I feel like so many trailers do that now where they slow down, like, you know, what's a popular...
They do that with, like, classic stuff.
Yeah, though, like, you know, they take a Beatles song and then they're just like, come together. You know, that's just like, oh, you made it slow and creepy. I get it. But this is, like, the first time where I'm just like, oh, shit!
Yeah.
I haven't heard that song since like the late 90s. And I, like when I heard that song, I was just like, oh, wow, I haven't heard this in forever. And the name of the group that performed that song was like on the tip of my tongue. So it was just like, I'm glad you said it, the Loonies, right?
Just the beat, you know, when they started to slow down the beat, it was like, dun, dun. And then they slowed it down a line. They were like, doo, doo, doo.
Yeah.
Doo, doo, doo. I'm like, oh my god, this is gonna be fucking scary, you know. And I can't wait to see what he's saying in the film, because he's not just making a horror film,
right? Of course, because it's part of his trilogy of like social commentary.
Yes.
I have a theory about it.
Okay.
So, because the movie seems to. Point in the direction of like there are these doppelgangers and they're evil and they have these supernatural powers, but they're us, mm-hmm. you know. And I was wondering if he wrote that as a reaction to Kanye West. Because, you know,
oh my god,
Kanye West started out you know, fully conscious, like socially conscious, you know, dropping hits with messages behind them,
mm-hmm.
With like Graduation, Late Registration, and you know, all his early albums. And then, you know, he puts on the MAGA hat, and then we're all just horrified mm-hmm. as to what he became. Or I don't know what he's doing right now, but. It's like, I'm wondering if that's his reaction to it. It's like, you know, oh, it's who we are and then who we could be, you know.
Commentary not just on Kanye, but every other like person of color.
Yes.
Who, oh man, we're looking at you, Stacey Dash.
Oh damn, yeah. Ugh.
And so many others.
Yeah, I know.
So many others, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's not even that many. They're just, when they pop up, it's like the right taste scoops them up and it's like, look, it's one of you. You should be like us, you know. While pulling the strings. Strings. But yeah. I'm definitely gonna go see. We're both gonna go see that.
Yes, absolutely.
I hope it shakes us to the core.
It's such a good. It's been such a good period for horror movies, right? There was like, I know you were just like not so impressed with it, but Hereditary. There was Get Out. Mm-hmm. There was I saw Suspiria. That was wow. I feel like
you saw the new one.
Yeah, I saw the new one. Oh,
okay.
Suspiria. I told you. So we went up to Canada. And we saw it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It is this Suspiria. It is a movie with a lot of plot. Holy shit!
You know how, you know, there was so much movie and so many characters crammed into Infinity War?
Yeah.
That is what Suspiria is with plot. Like, there is so much goddamn plot in that movie where I'm just like, more plot? Look, I just opened a box and there's more plot in here.
Jesus. Where'd all this plot come
from? Yeah, I know. So
I have only one question.
What?
There's only one thing that I care about. Whether it's in the movie or not, and I think you know.
Oh, you're gonna be disappointed.
Oh, god damn it.
I was waiting for the whole, like, you know, somebody is just like, oh, you know, fuck the world, and they just jump into a room full of barbed wire.
Damn
that
it.
Doesn't happen.
Fuck.
Spoilers for the first Suspiria movie.
Then what's the point? That was the art of the original. How could they just forget
that?
And
the dog biting the blind guy.
Oh, the dog. Well, that was... I hope that dog is living well somewhere.
Yeah, I know, right?
Or had a good life. Even though the dog that jumped onto the guy's neck was probably a puppet. Yeah?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, definitely. Probably.
It'd be awesome if it was like a trained dog.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fine, don't bite his neck.
Don't worry. He's done this a million times. I don't know. You know, the guy in the tux.
Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Following us immediately after.
Yeah.
For, you know, news. Wow,
you
man.
You tune in for us for Dracula.
Exactly, you know. We fill a niche, okay? But speaking of horror movies, last night I was walking toward downtown Brooklyn. And
yes,
I'm looking off in the distance. I'm literally looking at the direction where the Barclays Center is.
What were you doing out there?
I was walking to the gym.
Okay.
And so I just decided to take like a long stroll down Fourth Avenue. And it's a little after 9 o'clock. So it's dark. There's no sun, nothing. It is just dark. And suddenly the sky lights up. I mean, it lights up in a way that it doesn't even happen during the 4th of July. At first, it's like a red color, and then it cycles through gray and a few other colors, and then it settles on an electric blue. And it's just like that for a while, and it gets pretty bright. Like, you could see the clouds in the sky. There's no way that you don't notice this light. It was one of those focal points. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And you know where my
Cloverfield.
Yes, that's actually what I thought. I thought,
really?
If I hear a roar right now, I'm going to run so fast in a direction. I'm not quite sure whether I'll run toward or away, because, you know, if
right,
I
right,
make
right.
a good video, I can make good money off
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, totally.
But I could also die.
Also, yes.
Yes, that's so, you know, you got to weigh the pluses and minuses.
Right.
But then after I got the ridiculous idea of Cloverfield out of my mind, I thought to myself, maybe the aliens have finally come and have presented themselves. And I thought to myself, I don't know. I feel like there'd be more. I'd be hearing more sirens. So instead,
would you? I mean,
I don't know. Would I? So instead, I just took a few pictures of the sky and posted it to my social media.
Okay.
And asked anybody, does anybody know what the hell's going on? Because this is creepy.
Yeah.
And very quickly, I learned that Con Ed had a transformer explosion.
Or that's what they say.
Well, I think that's what it is, because
Bumblebee. Fine, kill my dreams.
No, Bumblebee just came out.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they
right,
wanted
right, right.
to, you know, drive up viewership.
So when they ask, like, the chief of Con Ed, they're just like, well, what was that, you know, brilliant display of light? And then the guy just turns, looks right into the camera, and he's like, I think it was a transformer.
Nice. Nice. Oh, my God. It's like, Marky Mark?
Marky Mark!
You're here in Astoria? It's like, well, you know. You gotta do multiple things.
Yeah,
say hi
I was
to your
just
mother
here.
For me.
Yeah, I was just here, and I was, you know, I wow, you know, oh my god, you look up at the sky, and you're just like, oh my,
And then somebody tries to accuse him of incompetence, and then he goes,
"What? No."
Oh man. Oh, if only, if only, if only. But yeah, that happened in Astoria, Queens last night, but most of New York saw it. I have a really cool picture I need to show you.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Somebody,
yeah.
I think from out New Jersey or further out from the boroughs, took a picture, and it just looks like, you remember that scene in Ghostbusters when Zool?
Yes, goes to the Gozerian. Yeah, goes to the Gozerian,
starts to, like, you know, the light above the city. It yes! looks like that. Oh, like,
that's the first thing I thought of. That's the first thing I posted on social media. I was like, yo, it goes to the Gozerian coming through the gate.
Hey, hey. Then they need to call the brown Ghostbusters. Yeah. Like, you know, oh, yeah, I like that. I like that. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
busting makes me feel good.
Oh, man. And the internet, as we've been speaking about in this episode, is it never fails to bring up the next waste of time. Apparently, before I walked out of the door, I saw an article which Pablo and Sabrina elaborated on, and we listened to the audio right before we started the show. And apparently, accusations run wild these days, and Grover is the latest to be accused.
Oh my God. I will outrage culture never stop.
Apparently, it sounded like he was saying, like, the word fuck in a response to something, but we broke down the video tonight. We analyzed it through our audio filters.
Right. Can we just pause for just 1 second so we can insert the clip, or, like, right here?
Let's do it.
Move the camera! Yes! Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea!
And we're back. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, you see? It's, he wasn't saying fuck. He was saying something like, I think that's a great idea, or something
this
like that.
This sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Yeah. But if when you first listen to it, especially if it's insinuated to you, it does sound like he's saying fuck.
Yeah, he sounds like, this is a fucking great idea. Yeah, yeah. But, oh my God. Or he's saying, like, this is fucking great. But it sounds, but he's saying, this sounds great. Or yeah. This is a great idea.
Yeah.
And, you know, it blew my fucking mind, because you were just like, no, he's saying this sounds like. And the more I heard it, the more it came through. It turned into one of those Laurel Yanni situations, and I was just like, this can't be. Up is down, black is white. So I was fucking surprised. So
folks, don't go burning your Grover puppets in protest over this, because, you know, it was a trick of the ear.
Yes, it definitely trick. Is.
Yeah. But speaking of tricks and stuff that you should go see, we didn't get to tell you last week because we were somehow sabotaged. But
John Cicada sabotaged that.
Yes.
Pretty certain. John Cicada sabotage.
Oh man, that whole joke.
I know. I'm gonna dump the whole thing. The audio on SoundCloud.
Okay.
And cool. have the people decide. You know.
Because it's a funny episode, even though the audio is iffy. But we went and saw Into the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
Great. Fantastic.
The animation, the acting, the way they fleshed out all the characters. It was just awesome. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are not initiated into comic book movies, stay after the credits. There's something unbelievably epic and funny that happens afterward.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to talk too much about it because we got to start wrapping it up.
We're at a show.
So from both of us here, Happy New Year's, people. Yeah.
Make sure to have a safe and happy new year. Spend it with people who you love and make you feel safe. And just quickly, folks, we just want to dedicate the show and send our thoughts and prayers to the families of Felipe Gomez Alonso and Jacqueline Cal, two young is it a Guatemalan or Honduran?
Yeah,
a
Guatemalan.
Guatemalan youths who died in the custody of the United States Border Patrol within recent weeks. Something has to be done so that things like this do not happen, that don't really need to happen, especially when they know that this population is coming through unbelievably tough circumstances in order to get here, trying to get to a better life.
Well said, well said. My thoughts exactly. So, yeah, from both of us here, enjoy your new year. And, you know, while you're out there, you could try keeping it real.
But you should try keeping it right. Song of the week.